That's great. Well, do you want me to sing too? I don't think so. Okay. I think it's best not. All right. Thank you. How many was at the camp meeting? All right. Several of you. And how many were there the day I preached? Okay. So you don't mind hearing it over again. Okay. All right. Brother Joey asked me to preach this message over again that I preached at the camp meeting because he wanted you folks to hear it. So I'll go ahead and do it over again. I had some of the Are You a Terrorist books. They don't have a cover on them, and they're not, when I reprint these, they're going to be larger, but I do have some of the Are You a Terrorist booklets here. They're free of charge, and probably there may be enough for, how many are here that got some of these at the camp meeting? Hold up your hands. Did any of you get these at the camp meeting? Okay. As far as they'll go, you're welcome for these. They're free of charge. So what? But one per family, if you'll take them. I'll leave them here. And they deal with the message that I'm bringing. I do have just one of these Trail of Blood Revisited this morning left. So it's $5 if somebody wants it. So, all right, turn your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. The book of Isaiah, chapter 5. Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. So I need some extra strength this afternoon. Usually, I'm covering my feet by now. If you understand what that means. That means an afternoon nap. So my biological clock is saying I ought to be somewhere else than standing in the pulpit preaching right now. So you pray that the Lord will give me strength. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Verse 20, Isaiah chapter 5. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Go with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Beginning, please, in verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted you the prophets which were before you. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Beginning with verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, for the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess to me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall findeth it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Our Father, we do not feel worthy to be able to stand in this pulpit, but we know that our righteousness is of Christ. We stand humbly before you today to minister to these dear people. We ask for the filling of thy Spirit. We ask for the unction of the Holy Spirit. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give to us strength, physical strength, spiritual strength. Open our eyes that we may see truth as it's revealed in the Word of God. For this we pray in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, we ask these things. In the name of our blessed Savior, we pray. Amen. Approximately 20 years or more, I wrote what I want to read to you at this time. In a book entitled The Naked Capitalist, by Cleon Skousen, a university professor by the name of Quigley, is quoted as saying, who, by the way, was President Bill Clinton's professor at Georgetown University, is quoted as saying that the conspiracy to bring in the New World Order, I wonder if I can get just a little, monitor, or I can hear myself a little more. I'm having a little throat trouble. In a book entitled, thank you, that really helped me. Thank you very much. In a book entitled The Naked Capitalist by Cleon Skousen, a university professor by the name of Quigley is quoted as saying that the conspiracy to bring in the New World Order, i.e. world government, has been so successful that it isn't necessary for the conspirators to remain silent any longer because the plan is so well entrenched that no voice of opposition can possibly stop it. Aldous Huxley, in his Brave New World, said basically the same thing. In fact, he said in 1932 that there was no organized opposition to this New World Order that was to come. That was the year that I was born, by the way. But what will this new order be like? It will be like all of man's utopias in the past. All of the despots of the ages have promised a new order. It makes no difference what it is called. Call it the Third Reich of Hitler, the Marxism of Lenin and Stalin, the fascism of Mussolini, the imperialism of King George, the New Deal, the Fair Deal, the New Frontier, the Great Society, or the change that Obama has just talked about. The new order begins by creating all men equal. And then, like Orwell's Animal Farm, you will discover that in time some are more equal than others, as the greedy, ruthless hogs make slaves of the other animals. In fact, Huxley said that this very thing, in these words: the old totalitarian systems with chains and prisons and labor camps are no longer needed because we now have found a way to make happy slaves. He went on to explain how there would be an abundance of drugs, booze, porn, and sex to assure this state of nirvana. Then he said that the job of newspaper editors, teachers, and preachers would be for the purpose of producing these happy slaves. And of course, the U.S. leadership has borrowed more than $10 trillion to make sure that the slaves are kept in a spirit of euphoria until the last nail can be driven in the coffin of our Gulag Archipelago, which will include the entire earth, a la Revelation chapter 13, the mark of the beast. There will be no need for the God of the Bible in this new world, for man will be his own God. There will be no need for morals, because as Huxley said, a marriage license will be like a dog license, good for 1 year. And there's nothing wrong with changing dogs or having more than one at a time. Naturally, there's no need for the family because the children will be raised from birth in state daycares and public boarding schools to prepare them for their role in a collectivized society. As Huxley envisioned, the most intelligent will receive higher education so as to create continual scientific advance for the enjoyment of the rich. But the masses will be used to populate other planets or cannon fodder in some distant land as they died, so the elitists can maintain their standard of existence and keep their servants happy with full stomachs and soft beds. In the new world that's coming, there will be no natural loyalties to flag, employer, or parents, but only to the system that gives them sustenance and pleasure. And the new order of serfs will not be much different than their forebears, whether black Africans or German Lutherans, who are happy to sacrifice their neighbors, friends, and children, or parents, to maintain their position of comfort. Now, how did we get to such a state? Well, we simply exchanged the Bible for Darwin, Freud, and Marx, and then exchanged the God of the Bible to Baal, the god of ancient Babylon, and then we exchanged God's law for their Babylonian law system. Thomas Jefferson said, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm conviction, firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that their liberties are a gift of God?" Recently, I have read a book entitled The History of the Jews by Paul Johnson. In this book, he explained how Hitler and his propaganda machine was able to turn an entire population, including Germany, France, Spain, Italy, and Eastern Europe, into a killing machine in which they exterminated nearly 6 million Jews. How did they do it? They simply created a propaganda machine to get the majority of the people to believe that these people were the enemy of the state. And the only way that the body politic could exist was to exterminate this group of people. Raging mobs actually began to exterminate the Jews, destroy their synagogues, destroy their businesses and homes, even before the government did. Yes, there were trials, mock trials, but juries let the people go or slapped them on the wrist or gave them short sentences. They were actually able to make them believe that scientifically it was best that this group of people were eliminated. Many of you have heard about the MIAC report, the Missouri Information Analysis Center, which was put out by the Missouri State Police, that identified certain people as being domestic terrorists. Who were these people that were identified as being domestic terrorists, or so-called, or a part of a so-called militia movement? People that supported folks that would have voted for third-party candidates like, well, and Ron Paul wasn't a third-party candidate. He actually was a Republican presidential candidate. But then Chuck Baldwin was a presidential candidate on the Constitution Party, and Bob Barr on the Libertarian Party platform. The MIAC document is a classic guilt by association effort designed to demonize legitimate political activity that stands in opposition to the New World Order and its newly enshrined frontman, Barack Obama. In September of 2008, Missouri sheriffs and prosecutors organized truce squads to intimidate people opposed to Obama and threatened to arrest and prosecute anybody who ran misleading television ads. Viac claims members of a right-wing militia movement organized in the 1990s, generally in response to the Oklahoma City bombing and the events at Waco, continuously exploit world events in order to increase participation in their movements. Who are these people that have become an enemy of America? Well, in regard to supposed militia movement literature and media, the Mayak Report mentions Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism, and William Luther Pierce's The Turner Diaries. The Mayak Report is particularly pernicious because it indoctrinates Missouri law enforcement in the belief that people who oppose confiscatory taxation believe in the well-documented existence of a new world order and world government, and are opposed to the obvious expansion of the federal government at the expense of the states as violent extremists who are gunning for the police. It specifically targets supporters of mainstream political candidates and encourages police officers to consider them dangerous terrorists. It actually talks about people that are pro-life, anti-abortion, Second Amendment advocates. Now, the only thing that saved us from the Mayak Report, so to speak, was a massive outcry against it. It so happens that there was a state patrolman in Missouri that leaked it to the press. And there was a massive outcry. And it embarrassed them. And so, consequently, they apologized for it and pulled it off the rack, so to speak. Now, within 2 weeks after scrapping the report, Homeland Security, the National Homeland Security, and Janet Napolitano came out with her report. Entitled, Right-Wing Economic and Political Climate, Fueling Resurgence in Radicalization and Recruitment. And Janet Napolitano, who I call Big Mama, Big Sister, so to speak, the godmother, said, and I quote, after it came out, and she was, then they were embarrassed because they included the soldiers that were coming back. They included them in it. Then she came out and was embarrassed over that. So she comes back and says, to the extent veterans read it as an accusation, an apology is owed. She then began excusing herself by saying that she was thinking of Timothy McVeigh and the fact that he had been in the military. She said it was limited to extremists, those who seek to commit violence within the United States, and all this was meant to do was to give law enforcement what we call situational awareness. Now remember those two words, quote unquote, situational awareness. Those two words, situational awareness. That's what the MIAC report was all about in Missouri, to give law enforcement situational awareness. This is what her report was all about, to give law enforcement situational awareness. Now, Pastor Stephen Anderson was stopped at a checkpoint 100 miles away from the border in Arizona last week when he refused to allow them to search his vehicle on the basis of the Fourth Amendment, the right to be secure in your person and property without any probable cause. Two state policemen in Arizona yanked him out of his car and tasered him several times, beat him to a pulp, ground his head into the glass from his broken windows, drove him 80 miles away, took 11 stitches stitch up his the gashes in his face. Wouldn't allow him to go to the bathroom for several hours. Why were they able to do that? Because of these two words, situational awareness. Situational awareness. They said, well, we had probable cause. They brought a dog over. The dog sniffed around and walked off. They said, well, we thought you had drugs or a body in there. And Stephen said, well, bring the dog back and let him try it again. And they wouldn't do it. Those two words give them the right, they think, to do whatever they want to do. Situational awareness. Now I want to read something here for just a moment. The day after Janet Reno gave the order for nearly 100 men, women, boys, and girls to be incinerated at Waco, Texas. At a news conference, I heard her with my own ears, I saw her with my own eyes make the statement in answer to a newsman's question. She said, a cultist, I quote, a cultist is one who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attends Bible studies, who has a high level of financial giving to a Christian cause, who homeschools their children, who has accumulated survival foods and has a strong belief in the Second Amendment, and who distrusts big government. Any of these may qualify a person as a cultist. But certainly more than one of these would cause us to look at this person as a threat and his family as being in a risk situation that qualified for government interference, close quote. How many of you sitting here saw her, as I did, make that statement? Okay, you saw. I need to get your name after this meeting because I'm collecting people that saw her because they pulled it from the media and it's never been seen since. They pulled it and it's never been seen since. Now this is where the Mayak report came from. But that's not where she got it from. Because I'm going to show you here in a minute. Now, after the Missouri pulled their Mayak, after the Missouri pulled their report, 2 weeks later, why would Homeland Security come out with their report? I've had people say, well, it was a mistake. It was an accident. No, it was not. Wasn't a mistake at all. It wasn't an accident at all. The reason is because they're taking the position, okay, Missouri, we were going to enforce it through the states. Now, Missouri was a fusion center. There are 24 states that are called fusion centers. Texas is a fusion center that has this situational awareness program. So Homeland Security had planned to enforce this through the states, secretly without anybody knowing about it, but it slipped out. And it slipped out that there are 24 states that are fusion centers. Plus Washington, D.C., which makes 25. Now, when Missouri apologized and withdrew their report, Janet Napolitano was so wicked and so bold, no doubt under President Obama's orders, they said, okay, now that they have, that we're found out, we're going to come out boldly and let everybody know what our position is. The only thing she apologized for was the very narrow military portion of that report. And that was only a left-handed apology. She didn't apologize for anything else. She didn't apologize for the anti-abortion portion. Now, a portion of that is the hate crime, the hate crimes issue concerning the anti-evangelism part of it. It also warns against the possibility of violence by unnamed right-wing extremists concerned about illegal immigration, increasing federal power, restrictions on firearms, abortion, and the loss of U.S. sovereignty, and singles out returning war veterans as particular threats. You will also be placed on this enemy's list if you have hatred of particular groups, including those that are religious. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? This means that the United States government is moving toward outlawing evangelism in the United States of America. If you engage in such activity, you will be considered a domestic terrorist. In other words, if you believe that someone of another religion is going to hell because they do not believe in Jesus Christ, or they have not been born again, then you believe that your religion is better than theirs and you are guilty of a hate crime. And sometime in the future, you will be prosecuted unless this train is stopped now. In 1995, the Indianapolis Baptist Temple was put on an extremist group's list under other. What I have right now is an actual page from the April 15, 1995 Air Force Times. Here's Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazi, skinheads, and then other. And right here says Indianapolis Baptist Temple, Indianapolis, Indiana. Think we're playing fun and games? I guarantee you, if you think we're playing fun and games, I'll show you what came out. This was right in the Indianapolis Star. I reproduced this in the Trumpet. That was in the Indianapolis Star. This was November the 8th in the Sunday Focus section. In 1999, the Indianapolis Baptist Temple was held up to public scorn, ridicule, and lies in an article entitled Indiana, It's Militia Light, L-I-T-E, by Tammy Lieber, Star correspondent. The article was a part of a much larger one captioned, Hate Lying in Wait. The subhead said, militia madness is simmering nationwide. Experts say blurring the lines between anti-government groups and ultra-conservative racist factions. The article was by Patrick May of the Knight Ridder newspapers, Dateline San Jose, California. The article was generously laced with the word hate, and it was supported with a near quarter page red and white Nazi flag with a black swastika. It had a map of the state of Indiana. It says at a glance, Indiana's militia might, Marion County, militia of Indiana. Right there it is, Indianapolis Baptist Temple. Following is an unofficial look at Indiana counties. Notice their language. Where militia activities and related sympathies were reported in 1997. See the kind of language they use? See? Now, the Star ran not a retraction, but a clarification. From the second page of the Sunday paper, November 15, 1998, a map titled Indiana's Militia Might in last Sunday's focus section listed the Indianapolis Baptist Temple as among Indiana organizations with ties to militia activities or related sympathies. The map reflects information compiled by the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Indianapolis Baptist Temple denies any ties or links to militia organizations or any other group that espouses hateful, anti-government, ultra-conservative, racist, or religious fringe beliefs. But what makes a difference? Who's going to read the retraction? See, it's like a jury. And somebody makes a statement and the judge says, strike that. You can't strike it from their mind. See, that's the purpose of all of this. See? That's the purpose of all of it. So that's what's behind all of this. Now, I'm going to go through this very fast because I know that I've got to catch a plane But I just want to take you through this now I'm just going to take you through it very fast. But I want to show you this real quick. Where's all this coming from? Where's all this coming from? And then I want to give you a few solutions. In 1999, there was a lady by the name of Carolyn. She lives in St. Petersburg, Florida. She's a freelance author, freelance writer. She got a notice in the mail that there was going to be an organization called the International Association of Undercover Officers, a private nonprofit organization holding a seminar called Homegrown Extremists in Nashville, Tennessee, August the 16th through the 20th, 1999. Price, $500. At that time, she was the editor of a paper called the Grassroots Journal. Carolyn wrote out a check for $500, sent it in, and was accepted. She received her credentials. And on the first day, she showed up with her tape recorder and a camcorder. And they rejected her tape recorder and her camcorder. However, they did allow her to take notes. I'm holding in my hand an article that she wrote entitled Perpetuating Hate that appeared in the Grassroots Journal after she got back. I'm going to read you just a little portion of that this afternoon. The man that conducted the seminar was a retired ATF agent by the name of Gene Reitmeier. Reitmeier was the main instructor at the Homegrown Extremist Intelligence Conference. It included ATF, DEA, FBI, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, Special Military Security Forces, U.S. Army Space Command, Defense Distribution Center, Defense Logistic Command Security Office, GSA Federal Protective SBC, Fleet and Industrial Supply Center Security Office, the Tennessee State Guard, Criminal District Prosecuting Attorneys and Investigators Offices, County, City, and State Sheriffs and Police Offices, and Tennessee Law Enforcement Training Academy. The class roster identified agents from Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Maryland, Illinois, Texas, Arkansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. These undercover cops' fees were paid for by their employers, $500 at a pop. The first day, Dr. Carl A. Seeger, Ph.D., security consultant, did the seminar's first day warm-up, introducing himself as a clinical psychologist. Seeger divided the United States into three groups. One group, the left-wing extremists, he defined as socialists and communists. In fact, Seeger's specific definition of this group was leftist, pinko, commie, bedwetters. I think that's a pretty good definition. The second group was the right-wing extremists who all share the philosophy of the KKK and neo-Nazis And by the way, he would put you and I in that group. And that's what the MIAC and the Homeland Security group was made up of. Which, by the way, was also included those who believe in end time prophecy. How many here this afternoon believe in end time prophecy? Does that include the second coming of Jesus Christ? I think so. Seeger explained that there's not a big difference between left and right wing extremists and their extremism, and so on and so forth. The average age upon which extremists are indicted is 35 years, with 18% more than 40 years for the left and 39 years and so on, with 36% more than 40 years for the right and so on and so forth. Seeger stressed that the right wing is definitely dumber than the left wing. In fact, Seeger used Bo Greitz as a dumb right wing example and so on and so forth. He says the left is driven by ideology and the right believes that they are on a mission from God. That's the extent of the differences. Now, one of the things they taught them was how to make ricin from the castor bean. They actually taught these undercover agents how they could make ricin poison, which is 6,000 times as potent as cyanide poison and 12,000 times as potent as rattlesnake venom. And how they can go to gatherings, gun shows, places where fundamentalists, Bible-believing people meet, how they can just walk through the crowd and just prick us. And we'll be dead. And just, it taught them. There it is right there. That's what they were taught. One of the things they taught against was the common law courts, FIJA, the fully informed jury issue. Anybody who believes in the Constitution, anyone who believes in the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, anyone who believes in the New World Order, anyone who is driven by religion and fueled by conspiracies. Now listen to this. Reitmeier continued by merging anti-abortion extremists with right-wingers. He believes that most active extremists taking up the banner of anti-abortion are the invisible empire of KKK, WAR, W-A-R, White Aryan Resistance, and the U.S. Taxpayers Party. Now, does anybody know what the U.S. Taxpayers Party is today? Constitution Party. That's the one that I'm a member of the Constitution Party. We have a Constitution Party in Florida. You have the Constitution Party in Texas? Okay. Then he goes on to say, Reitmeier names Neil Horsley, Allison Hall Grayson, James Wickstrom, August Kreese, Matthew Trujillo. Does anybody know Matthew Trujillo from Milwaukee? Okay, so lovely Christian brother. Jack DeVault, Dale Paltz, Randy Terry. Anybody know Randy Terry? How many have heard of Randy Terry? Okay. Michael Bray, David Koresh, you all have heard of him. Okay. Now listen to this. As engaged in training, in operations, reconnaissance, and intelligence gathering, in the last 20 years, these people are responsible for 6 murders, 15 attempted murders, 200 bombings and arsons, 72 attempted arsons, 750 death and bomb threats, and hundreds of acts of vandalism, intimidation, stalking, and burglary. But there was one name I left out. W.N. Otwell. Now, do you really believe W.N. Otwell has been involved in murders and bombings? You see the point I'm trying to make? Brother Otwell's not been involved. Matt Truhella, I know him personally. He's not been involved in that. Randall Terry, he's not been involved in stuff like that. See how they destroy people's reputation? See? Carolyn told me personally that one afternoon, they took the entire afternoon. You're talking about the undercover cops of America discuss the Indianapolis Baptist Temple and Dr. Greg Dixon one afternoon. Never again. Ashcroft, you go to the library and get it. That's his book. U.S. Attorney General under Bush, he ordered the raid on the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. Starting on page 93, he devotes 6 pages on our church in his book. Listen to this. Quote, "The employees paid their own taxes on the money they received from the church, but the church itself continued to accrue back taxes, penalties, and interest amounting to more than $6 million. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm not making an issue right now. Our position is they were ministers. But let me ask you a question. Even if they were employees, if they paid their own taxes, how could the church accrue a $6 million debt? Now, he's the Attorney General of the United States. Now, if he's that stupid, how could he be Attorney General of the United States? He needs to be in an insane asylum. Does he know what he wrote? And he's given these away to people. He's proud of this book. I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed to write something like that and admit it. We just got a letter 30 days ago from the IRS still wanting to collect their $6 million. Six pages. I'm not going to take time to read it. But you know what he says? He says the reason that they raided our church is because we were domestic terrorists. Well, why did he say that? He said it because, do you know who was the acting
attorney general. He'd only been in office a week when he ordered the raid on our church. Who was the acting attorney general when he came into office? Do you know his name? Who was the acting attorney general when John Ashcroft was confirmed? Who was the acting attorney general at that time when he was confirmed? Do you remember? He took over from Janet Reno. Don't you remember his name? You should remember his name. It's in the news almost every day. Don't you know who he is? His initials are EH. Eric Holder, who is the present Attorney General. Where did he get his information? He got his information from right here. They sent this report to every state's attorney, to the Attorney General, to every sheriff, to every police, to every city over the police of the city. I can't think right. I'm tired this afternoon. A police chief in every city, every sheriff, every judge, each Supreme Court justice, every appellate judge, every federal judge in America got this report. Everyone got this report. That's where the MIAC report came from. That's where this Homeland Security report came from. This report is the one that told, that says that this is just a little portion of the report. Now, what did they use? What did they use? Here are the syllabuses they used. Two 100-page syllabuses. Here they are. International Association Undercover Homegrown Extremists. It's got Brother Otwell's name, got my name. Here it is, right here. The threat of right-wing anti-government extremists who prepared this material. Here it is, right here. Armed of Southern Poverty Law Center, Montgomery, Alabama, and a Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, New York, New York. Right there it is. These were the syllabuses that they used in that 1999 International Association Undercover Officers Homegrown Extremists meeting. And they've been having these ever since in different parts of the country. Look here. Morris Dees, Gathering Storm, America's Militia Threat. I'm on page 62 in this book. There it is. Here it is. False Patriots. I'm in this book. There it is. All the material. There you go. Now you want to know why we're where we are? Well, what can we do about it? Well, my friends, I'll tell you one thing we can do, and I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. While you're turning there, first of all, we need to make sure of our own personal holiness. We need to make sure of our family's personal holiness. We need to make sure of the holiness of our churches. We need to make sure that we are personally armed. Jesus said, sell your garment and buy a sword. You better make sure that you can protect yourself. That includes your wife. We're living in serious times. You need to secure your home. You need to secure your church. Never know when somebody's just going to come in and start just shooting people. Because what's happening is they're turning people against our kind of churches. They're going to think they're doing God's service just to blow us away. See? And they've already said that they're saying, well, go after them. These people are the enemies of America. See? We must be faithful and watching for His coming, being obedient to the Lord. We must pray for a lesser magistrate that God would raise up to be able to follow. We must practice Christian. We must learn to practice Christian resistance by saying no. We must learn what that is. We must be willing to pay the price. We must be willing to pay the price. You know why Brother Kent Hovind's in jail for 10 years? Because Rebecca Horton, who is the vice president of Pensacola Christian School, turned him in to the IRS. Thought she was doing God's service. Called the IRS. You know, she got 10% for her college, Pensacola Christian College. She got 10%. Called the IRS. Turned him in. Turned his dinosaur land in. It's a tremendous Christian ministry that was teaching against evolution, standing for creationism. And their ministers were receiving gifts for serving the Lord. And she turned them in. David Gibbs III of Christian Law Association, quote unquote, Christian Law Association. In a private conversation, he explained his position. And somehow the IRS found out about it and subpoenaed him. And he came in and testified against Brother Hovind at trial. He said, well, I was subpoenaed. Well, so what? Just because you're subpoenaed? What's that got to do testifying against Christian brothers and sisters? Well, I would go to jail. Well, is that right? I went to jail for contempt because I wouldn't turn the records of our church over to a federal judge in Chicago. Spent 48 hours in the hole. Susan McDougall spent 3 years in jail for contempt of court because she wouldn't rat on the wicked Clintons. And I commend her for it. I commend her for it. Someone with that kind of courage that would be willing to go to jail because she wouldn't rat on her wicked friends. And I commend her for that. But what about Christians? Come in and sing like birds. My friend, one of these days you're going to have to make a choice of whether you're going to turn your own brothers and sisters in this church and your own pastor and his wife. And one of these days, you're going to have to make a choice. You may have to go to jail for contempt. You're going to say, well, I can't leave my wife and children. You have to make the choice. But we need to learn that our greatest weapon is prayer. Look at 1 Timothy 2:1. Somebody says, well, I think we ought to pick up arms. Well, have you ever considered the power of prayer? Well, I think we ought to pick up bombs and dynamite. Have you ever considered the power of prayer that's far greater than dynamite and guns and all those things? Have you ever considered the power of prayer? Maybe we ought to try prayer before we try those things. Look at verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We need to pray for our country. What if there was a great avalanche of prayer on the part of the churches of America for our leaders that would hold back this wicked tide that's coming? What would God do? What could God do if there was a great tsunami of prayer to hold back this wicked tide? Obama's speaking at Arizona State University on the 13th, it's the 21st or 24th of May, I forget. And they've got this DVD out, Obama's Deception. They've got this DVD out, The Obama Deception, and from Freedom to Fascism, the Russo film. They've got it on one DVD, and they're trying to get 13,000 of those on the campus before Obama comes to speak. Isn't that tremendous? And so I'm providing 300. See, I can get 300 for $90. And I've got a duplicator. And so I'm trying it. For $90, I can provide 300. So I told him I'd provide 300. So we're trying to get 13,000 into the hands of those students at Arizona State University before Obama gets there. So there's some things we can do that doesn't involve blowing up people. See the point I'm trying to make? So folks, while we have time, let's do what we can do. Amen? While we're free to do it, let's get the gospel out, and let's get out on the streets, and let's get tracts out, and get the gospel out, and let's get busy. Amen? Let's win our loved ones to Christ and witness to them. And let's practice First Timothy 2. Amen? Amen? God bless you. Thanks, Pastor. Thanks for the privilege of being here. Oh, yes.
Amen. As Brother Dixon was speaking, I was jotting down some notes that, isn't it amazing how they try to portray the Nazis as right wing? Isn't that amazing? Nazis were left wing. They believed in global government. They believed in socialism. They believed in government control of the family. That's left wing. That's not right wing. That's crazy. I wrote the AP one time because they were presenting Timothy McVeigh as a born-again Christian right-wing extremist. Timothy McVeigh was a follower of Nietzsche, an antichrist that hated Jesus Christ. Timothy McVeigh was an atheist, so what does that have to do with a born-again Christian? It's just amazing. What they do is they use these things to try to spread lies about Christians. And speaking about the second coming of Christ, watch Mania in China. When those communists took over China, and they came to put Watchman Nee, the great Christian preacher, in jail, they jailed him for one primary thing. They said, you're preaching the second coming of Christ, and you're discouraging everybody. And they said, this is the main thing we have against you. He wouldn't join their socialist communist church either. But nevertheless, he said, your premillennialism is discouraging. And we want everybody to look at this utopia, this communist utopia. So he suffered and died for the Lord in prison for preaching the second coming of Christ. This stuff about Otwell and all the different things that they try to say, these are liberals. These are Christ-hating liberals who try to brand these preachers, Brother Dixon and Brother Otwell. Brother Otwell and these folks, they have preached against the KKK. Do you understand that? When you go out to their camp, you've got girls playing fiddles, and you've got, it's a sweet play. It's insane. I like it, Brother Dixon's IBT. Sometimes they make these claims, and Brother Dixon laughs and says, they're scared of you. And you're looking around at elderly people and sweet ladies, and, you know, these are the folks they think are terrorizing America. It's just, it's hilarious is what it is. But I'll tell you one reason they do not like certain preachers in America. Brother Dixon and folks like that, not because they take up arms, not because they're supposedly racist or something like that. They cannot stand what this man teaches because he teaches Christians to say no.
Amen.
See, Peter said, we're going to obey God rather than men. If you tell us to stop preaching, we're going to obey God. So they do not want Christians to know that if the government or anybody tells you to do something contrary to this word of God, you say no. That's called Christian resistance. No, we will not. Why did Daniel go to the lion's den? Why did his three friends go into the fiery furnace? They said no. See, and when you teach Christians to stand up and say no, you become dangerous. Because they don't want anybody to learn how to say no. They want you to go with the propaganda, go with the flow, and you cannot be a disciple of Christ. We want to obey the leaders of the land. We want to be respectful. We want to pray for them. But when they tell us to sin, when they come over and try to control the churches that are under the headship of Christ, we say no. Period. It's over. So, call us a terrorist, lie, call us every name in the book. That's what they did to Paul. They criminalized Paul. When they got done with Paul in regard to the propaganda, all of Asia turned against Paul. Everybody was ashamed. Timothy was even being afraid. And Paul had to write him and said, don't be ashamed of me and my bonds. Don't be afraid of my chains. Don't be ashamed to be associated with me. Because if you're right with God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they say. So, I believe it's an important message for you as Christian people to get ready for what's coming. We need to learn loyalty to the people of God. Jesus prophesied that children are going to turn their own parents in. We've got to become loyal one to another. And it's a very important message. I thank Brother Dixon for coming and preaching it. So let's go ahead and close. Dear Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for Brother Dixon coming and speaking to us today. God, please bless him. Preserve him, Father, in health for our coming conference here, Lord, in June. We thank you, Father, for the preachers that you're gathering together. And we do pray, God, that nothing would hinder it other than your second coming, Lord. We do pray, Father, that you preserve the preachers in health, Lord. Give us a good crowd, God. But most of all, show up and speak to us, Lord. Let us be encouraged. And we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Lord, we pray for our nation with so much propaganda and lies and slander. Father, raise up godly men in the government that will not believe these lies, Lord, that will resist these lies, Lord. And to help them be exposed, you told us in the last days that we need to expose
these works of darkness, Lord. And we thank You, Father, that You are coming soon and You're going to fix everything, Lord. Praise God. We look forward to the time when You set up Your kingdom on this earth. Bless these dear people. Thank You for the day we've had together, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.